just after 8.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Here we are at the end of November, when the thoughts of many people are about thankfulness and sharing their bounty of time, expertise, or even money with others in the community. So for this reason, I thought it would be a good time to highlight a local agency that helps channel volunteers and funds into worthy community projects. The United Way of Racine County does many things for the community, including several initiatives in local schools that we will be highlighting today. Joining us is the United Way of Racine County's Chief Operating Officer, Jessica Safransky-Schott. Jessica was born and raised in Racine County and graduated from Carthage College. She's been with the United Way of Racine County since 2007 and has held a variety of roles with the organization, most recent being COO since August of 2019. She also serves as the communications chair for Tempo Racine and is the treasurer of her kids' PTA. When not at work, Jessica enjoys spending time with her family and attending concerts. Welcome, Jessica.
Good morning.
And Leanne Martinez is the director of the United Way of Racine County's Community Schools Initiative. She started in 2020 as the Julian Thomas Community School Coordinator before becoming Community School Director in January of 2022. In her role as Community Schools Director, Leanne is responsible for the planning, implementation, management, and evaluation of community schools in Racine County in partnership with school district staff, United Way funded partners, families, students, and community members. When not in the office, Leanne enjoys spending time outdoors with her children, running, and competitive ballroom dancing. Wow. Okay. Welcome, Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So let's just start with a list of education-related projects sponsored by the United Way of Racine County, after which we'll look at some specific programs. So what are listeners supporting with their donations to the United Way in Racine?
United Way of Racine County fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in our community. And we do that by investing in programs that are led by other nonprofits and also by leading our own projects and initiatives. Just last year alone in 2021, United Way of Racine County programs supported over 55,000 people. That's essentially one in every four Racine County residents that is impacted by a United Way funded program. And nearly half of the individuals that were served by in that group of people were under the age of 18, because we know that investing early in a child's life has a much greater and longer term impact on their life. But we couldn't do this work alone. It's the result of support and partnership from thousands of individual donors, hundreds of corporate sponsors, supporters, and several cross-sector partners, partner organizations, and hundreds of volunteers. So when we think about our education work, it's the 15 or so education-focused programs that are led by other nonprofits that we invest in, and then also some of our own work, which includes Born Learning Trails, Imagination Library, Schools of Hope, and our community schools.
Great. Okay. So Leanne is here with us as the director of community schools. So let's start by talking about them. What exactly does that mean? I mean, aren't all schools community schools?
I wish all schools were community schools. But community schools are public schools that provide services and support that fit each neighborhood's needs. They're created and run by the people who know our students best. They're all working together. And the community school itself The location is a geographic hub for all of the resources and services that families can get. So, for example, when you drop off your student to school, perhaps it's through an extended learning program where they can get before and after wraparound school care, you also go to an English as a second language course for adults during the school day. And one of our community schools will be opening up a health center so that once you drop off your student at school, perhaps you can go down and get dental care for yourself. So all of the services are right there in that geographic hub of the community school.
Okay, wow. So which schools are you in and how did you choose them?
So currently we are at Knapp Elementary. That was established in 2016. And then our partnership with Julian Thomas began in 2019. And we just opened a community school in September of 2021 at Mitchell. So we choose the schools in partnership with RUSD and specifically with Superintendent Dr. Galleon. We're looking at schools that are often in a socioeconomically depressed area that have students that may have and families that have a harder time accessing resources.
Okay. And you just added one in the fall of 2021. Do you have plans to add more? Or are you just working with those three at the moment?
I really, really wish that we were able to add more. We were able to add Mitchell due to a life-changing donation that we received. And because of that, we were able to add a coordinator and many of the resources at Mitchell. Unfortunately, at this time, just due to funding, we won't be able to add a community school for a while. So we're just going to be really focused on what we're doing in the community schools that we have currently.
Great. So tell us about the community advisory boards at these schools.
So community advisory boards, a lot of times when we think of groups at schools, we think of PTAs or PTOs. A community advisory board is looking at the neighborhood itself. It's has members that are parents, that are teachers, that are community members. We have the aldermen in those districts on the community advisory board. The community school coordinator, who is located actually in the school itself, and even students will come in as the advisory board. And what those boards are doing is looking at issues that occur right in that neighborhood. So each advisory board is a little bit different at each school, and they're all addressing different issues and challenges that the community might have and coming up with creative solutions on how to successfully make those challenges go away.
So if you're a community member listening to this, if you don't have kids in the school, is that a role that you could play, or is there something else that someone might be able to do as a volunteer?
If you're a community member in those neighborhoods, even if you don't have a student at the school, yes, that is something that you could participate in. I would just go ahead and ask that anybody who's interested email me and I can give them to the coordinator that would be in that neighborhood.
Okay, we'll put your email in the show notes if you don't mind.
Then I don't mind.
Can click on it and see if they can find you. Or what's your website, just in case that might be a better way for someone to find you?
We can be found at www.unitedwayracine.org.
Great. And then I noticed in your most recent newsletter about community schools, you featured school nurses. So tell us, you know, what do nurses, school nurses do that might be different or more important in your community schools than just a regular school nurse might do?
I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm so glad that you saw our community school newsletter. That is something that goes out to the community, to the families, the teachers, staff, parents. Every month, both in English and in Spanish, every month we like to highlight a different staff group, not necessarily teachers, but some of the support staff that also are in our schools. So this month is nurses. You know, nurses are going to be very important because they're seeing kids oftentimes when they're sick. You know, and obviously we all know that there's been a lot of illness going around over the last couple of years with COVID. Currently, they're also seeing a higher rate of influenza and RSV. But these are also nurses that are working in mental health at the community schools. They can then refer a student if they are seeing that this student has mental health challenges or issues to the mental health therapists that are actually located in the school itself. All of our communities have mental health therapists in this school. They can also connect with our coordinator and get them resources for dental care, for vision care. We work with Prevent Blindness Wisconsin, and our coordinators, along with Prevent Blindness Wisconsin and our nurses, all work together to do vision screening for our students. The majority of students, and it's based off of grade on when you get those done, will get vision screenings throughout every year.
So they do all of those things for you and then help students access glasses and things like that as well?
They will help the parents to access the resources for glasses, yes.
Right, great. So if somebody's listening to this, what are all the different ways that they might be able to become involved with your community schools initiative? Obviously, they could make donations, and we want to leave that open to people. But if they're not in a position to do that, and they might have some time, what could they do?
Well, besides donating, which I'm glad you said, you know, we're always welcome. We do ask for volunteers at the schools, and not just for the community advisory board, but we also have a program called the Walking School Bus. The Walking School Bus is where two adults walk a predetermined route around the schools, and they pick up kids like a school bus. At the community schools, unless we have a student with an IEP or a student that has siblings with an IEP, none of them have busing at the schools. Mm-hmm. So because of that, many of the students have to either get dropped off at the school from parents or another adult, or they have to walk to school. And when it gets cold like it is right now, sometimes, depending on if something's going on with parents, they don't have the ability to walk themselves to school. So the Walking School Bus is just a great way to, and a fun way in the morning, to get up and see those smiling faces as you get them ready to get into the classroom. They get there on time, they get there ready for breakfast, and then they can go to their class. So we are looking for Walking School Bus volunteers right now. We actually have a wait list at our schools because there are so many students that want to get onto the Walking School Bus, but unfortunately we need to have two adults for every 10 kids, and we just don't have enough volunteers at this time.
Wow, well, that sounds like a great opportunity, especially if it would get people up and about and outside early in the day and in the afternoon as well, and a big service they could help provide. That's great. And I can imagine also that it's really something parents are quite grateful for, because as we know, work schedules don't always coordinate well with school start and end times. And so or you might be in a household where you only have one car or no car. And so it would be really helpful for this, especially if you had extra time on your hands, right?
Absolutely. I've done it myself, and seeing those kids in the morning, yes, it's a little early. Right now it's a little dark sometimes, but just seeing their faces is great. We know that approximately 30% of the families in those neighborhoods do not have a working vehicle. And sometimes it's just a matter of parents are unable for one reason or another. One parent last year, for example, she broke her leg. She couldn't walk her kids to school. She called us up and said, "Can I get on the program?" And we were able to help her out during that time.
Wow. Yeah. Let me just do a quick reintroduction break. You're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of United Way of Racine County's work and holiday giving opportunities is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in the discussion there. So we have with us today COO of United Way of Racine County, Jessica Safransky-Schott, and Leanne Martinez, who is the Director of Community Schools for United Way of Racine County. So in the past, another project we've discussed on Education Matters is the Schools of Hope program. So either one of you, could you tell us a little bit about that program and how listeners might be able to become involved if they'd like to give back to their community?
Sure, I'd be glad to talk a little bit about it. And Leanne is actually volunteering as a tutor this year, so she might want to share some of her experiences as well. So Schools of Hope is actually turning 10 years old this year. We started the program back in 2012, and it is a partnership between United Way of Racine County and the Racine Unified School District and community volunteers to bring community volunteers into the schools to very intentionally work with students to help them become more confident, capable readers. So the program focuses on students in grades 1, 2, and 3. We know that those are some of the most critical years when it comes to literacy and learning how to read. And this year we're focusing on 4 schools, our 3 community schools, so Knapp, Julia Thomas, and Mitchell, and then also Wadowitz Elementary, which was one of our very first Schools of Hope schools. And we continue to be able to place volunteers at that school as well. This is one of the first normal school years that kids have had in a long time. And we know that there has been a lot of disruption to learning, a lot of learning that didn't happen, a lot of learning that has been lost because of all of the interruptions of the pandemic. And so this year, Schools of Hope at those 4 schools is identified as a tier 2 intervention. So it's something that is a little extra support that a student gets above and beyond their typical classroom instruction and supports from their classroom teacher. So the volunteers commit to coming in once a week, same time, same day. They work with the same students every week, and they work through a series of activities primarily focused on the student reading with the tutor, and the tutor giving reinforcement and support, just being somebody who can listen, encourage, help troubleshoot tricky words, and help kids practice the skills that they are learning every day in the classroom with that immediate one-on-one feedback from the tutor.
Okay, so Leanne, maybe you can chime in and tell us a little bit about what it's like to be a Schools of Hope tutor.
So I work with a second grader at one of our community schools. She's in a dual language classroom, although generally speaking, our tutoring sessions are in English. This is the first time, however, Schools of Hope has been able to have both English and Spanish tutors, which has been absolutely wonderful. We go in and we start off with, you know, quick introductions. How has your week been? I hear a lot about her older sister and her dog. And then we read the story together. Every once in a while, she might get a little bit stuck on a particular word, but really this isn't about teaching the student as much as giving them a little bit of extra practice, giving them just a little extra support that they might need in order to read the story. And then after we read the story, she writes down a few sentences and I help her with that regarding what the story is about, just, you know, helps out with reading comprehension. And then half an hour later, and it does whiz by very quickly because we are having a lot of fun. We're all done. She gets stickers on her bookmark every single time that she meets with myself and the other tutor. And then we say goodbye until the next week. But it's been a very, very rewarding volunteer opportunity for me.
So it's once a week.
Once a week, you can do it up to twice a week, I believe. Jessica can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But for me, it's just once a week, 25 to 30 minutes. Yeah.
And it happens during the school day, I assume.
Yes.
So people would have to be free during the day.
Yes.
And what is the training like? What kind of a time commitment is that?
So there is an orientation before Schools of Hope begins. We did it in early October. And that is about a 2-hour training. We work with both RUSD as well as our schools of Hope coordinator, Lori. It's not too much more than what you would think it'd be. Reviewing how to work with the students, how to help them out with, you know, some harder words, helping them out with writing. But after that, we're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And when is the next training if someone is listening and would like to sign up to do this?
No, that's something they would have to go ahead and reach out to Lori for that. Jessica, do you want to help me out with that one?
Sure. So we're waiting right now to see if there is a significant increase in needs from students at the end of the first semester. All of our kids are selected based on their assessments, wanting to make sure that this intervention is the right thing for them to help them continue to grow their skills. And so we may be able to offer a second volunteer opportunity this school year based on the student need that we're seeing at the school. So if somebody's interested, they can go to our website, unitedwayracine.org, go to the Schools of Hope page. There is a spot where people can submit their name and email address so that we can reach out to them as soon as we have new volunteer opportunities available for Schools of Hope.
Great. And I would just like to say overall, you know, having been a tutor at various points and working in the schools in my own job, if you have any doubts about the future or you feel a little discouraged, I think spending time with young people is the best possible way to sort of renew your hope. And Schools of Hope is a great way to do that. So please think about it. Get out of the house, meet some delightful young people, and make the world a better place, right? So the other thing that you told me about earlier is a program called VITA. So if one of you could tell me, what does V-I-T-A, VITA stand for, and who does that involve?
VITA stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. It is a nationwide program that is led by the IRS, and United Way of Racine County runs our local program that serves Racine County residents. It's a program in which community volunteers become IRS certified and then do free preparation and electronic filing of federal and state income tax returns, as well as homestead credit requests. So we have a combination of both adult volunteers, and something that we're really proud of is our high school volunteers. So we work with Racine Unified's Academies of Racine at Case High School, specifically their business academy and their accounting students. And there is this year about 80 students in the different levels of accounting classes. We work with a phenomenal educator, Courtney Winia, who teaches the accounting classes. And in her class, her students all learn about taxes. What are taxes? Why do we pay taxes? How do they work? Which always makes me laugh, because I'm sure people have seen the joke that says, like, why doesn't school teach me about something I really need? And this is doing exactly that. So the students learn all about it and become certified, IRS certified at the basic level. And then they have the option to volunteer on Saturdays at our VITA site that we run at Case High School. So any community volunteer, any community members who qualify for VITA, there's a few requirements as far as income restrictions. It has to be an income of $66,000 or less. There's a few types of filing that we cannot do through VITA, but most everybody with a typical employment situation and a typical filing situation within that income level would qualify for VITA. And so they come into the site and have all of their materials with them, and they work with two students who help do the interview. They fill out their entire tax return for them, and then it goes through our process of going to quality review. So the students then work with another volunteer, one of our long-term VITA volunteers that know all about taxes, and they go through and do a quality review check to make sure that there's not been any mistakes made. We do that for all of the returns, whether it's done by a student or not. That's part of the program process. And then electronically file the returns for the taxpayer, and they get their return back in a couple of weeks, depending on how busy the IRS is at that point. So we've done that for 3 or 4 years now at Case High School, and it's just incredible.
So when does that program begin?
We start, this year we'll start services at Case the last Saturday of January, and VITA services are offered at Case on Saturdays, and then we also offer VITA sites at Workforce Solutions and the Racine Public Library, and then also additional pop-up locations in the community school neighborhoods and at other places that would like to offer this opportunity to their clients or to their staff. And it runs throughout the entirety of tax season.
Wow. And so the high school students are doing this, and the volunteers work directly both with the clients and the high school students who are learning how to do the taxes.
Yeah.
Right. So if you, what are some of the volunteers? Like, obviously, if you're a CPA or something, you're probably really busy at that time of year, but, you know, maybe math teachers or who else? I mean, I guess people that are just enjoy doing taxes.
So we get that question a lot. The answer is literally anyone. Believe it or not, I have been IRS certified for the last 2 years and have volunteered at Vita Sites because there is a very comprehensive training. We actually offer three training opportunities. You can do a very guided virtual training session. You can do a self-guided training, or we do in-person training at our office in January. And what I have learned, and what I think our volunteers learn, is that a lot of taxes is knowing how to look things up. There's no way to know every tax situation and every tax policy. But if you know, oh, I need to look up tuition credit, You do a search in the 4012, that's like the guide for doing federal taxes, and you can find the right information, and then you follow a flow chart and you get the answer that you need to complete that part of the return. So a lot of it really is being able to listen and ask questions of the taxpayer and then do some searching and find the right information. So literally anybody can do it.
We have one of our community school coordinators over at NAP, her name is Zaire, also volunteered last year for VITA. She said it was actually a lot of fun. She did not think she was going to have as much fun as she did doing taxes, but she really enjoyed it a lot.
So if someone wants to sign up to do this, where do they do that? And when is the next training opportunity?
People can go to our website, UnitedWayRacine.org, click on the VITA page, and we're accepting applications through the beginning of 2023. We do orientations twice a week so that as people sign up, they can pop into an orientation and learn the ins and outs right away. That's an hour. And then they can select the training opportunity that works best for their learning style and their schedule. So that virtual training, the in-person training, or self-guided training, with the understanding that everybody needs to be completely done with their training. And at the end of the training, you take a test to become IRS certified by the beginning of tax season. And then people are scheduled based on their availability into one of the tax sites, either in person or we'll also continue to offer some virtual services this year.
Well, this sounds like a fantastic opportunity for a couple of reasons. One is obviously the high school students are getting trained to do this thing that they might be able to do as a paid person later on, correct? That might be one thing. The other thing is obviously it's helping the community by them being able to pay their taxes or in a lot of cases get the refunds that they're entitled to that they might not either get at all or not get the correct amount if they didn't have help. And then I guess the community volunteers by going through this training, they can volunteer, but I suppose if then they found that this was something that was that they were good at, they might even want to try to find employment in a field like this. Is that right too?
It's absolutely right. And it's, you know, you said earlier going into a school and seeing young people and you feel like the world's okay. And this is definitely that same type of situation. They start out pretty nervous the first time they do a return, and we typically have extra adult volunteers there just kind of roaming around the room in case somebody has questions. They can kind of give us a signal and we can come over and assist, but they're really, really smart students and learning some really important skills. So it's been super rewarding to see that happen and also to hear from the taxpayers their relief, because for many of them, they are stressed about how do I file my taxes and am I going to get money back and what if I owe? And, you know, both situations happen sometimes, but we're able to provide the taxpayer with information and help them understand the next steps and how they can move forward. And that's really rewarding to be part of.
Great. I'm just going to take a moment to reintroduce us. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the United Way of Racine County's work and holiday giving opportunities is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So at some point in some of the materials that you sent me earlier, you mentioned the community investment process. And I don't know if either one of you can talk about this. What is that and how can listeners lend their expertise?
So our community investment process is the process by which all of the donations and investments that we receive throughout the year are invested into partner programs. So when I said earlier that we don't do this alone, we fund about 50 programs led by other organizations. The community investment process is how that happens. So every year we release a request for proposals. It actually will be released December 1st this year. And organizations that believe they have the right programming in place to achieve our common indicators and outcomes can propose programs for funding. And once that happens, we have teams of volunteers called a volunteer advisory team that read and score those proposals using a rubric and then make funding recommendations. So we divide those volunteers up into four teams. We have health, education, financial stability, and essential services, which is basic needs programs. And those community volunteers are the people that are responsible for reviewing those proposals and making the funding recommendation of how we invest about $1.4 million in other programs every single year. So as we gear up for that, we are looking for individuals that live or work in Racine County to be part of that process. We're particularly in need of volunteers for the education volunteer advisory team because we get the most proposals for that funding area. And so need a slightly larger team to do all the reviewing and scoring and funding recommendations. So I'm sure you can guess, you go to our website and indicate your interest. The meetings for the investment process are all virtual. We meet weekdays beginning at 4 p.m., so towards the end of the workday for people who are maybe working a 9-to-5 or right before dinner for other people. And everything happens through those virtual meetings and then in between time when people are reviewing those proposals in anticipation of those meetings. So it's a really cool opportunity to learn more about all of the programs that exist in our community that are helping in education, particularly helping young people be successful.
Wow. Once again, that's another opportunity to sort of see what's going on in the community and lend your expertise. And it might even lead to, who knows, maybe you'll decide to want to work for one of those community projects or even work in a nonprofit sector in some way. That sounds like a great opportunity. So the other couple of things you mentioned at the beginning that we haven't talked about yet are your Born Learning Trails and Imagination Library. I wonder if you could tell our listeners a little bit about that and if there are any opportunities there for them.
Sure. Our Born Learning Trails are interactive trails that help parents and caregivers make everyday moments into teaching moments with their littles. And so it's a series of signs in English and Spanish and then corresponding artwork on the sidewalk that just encourages children to play and adults to interact with them. So things like, look around, what do you see? Do you see something that's the color red? Do you see something that's a triangle? Listen, what sounds do you hear? Do you hear a car passing by? Do you hear birds chirping? Those types of things. And we have Born Learning Trails at different locations throughout Racine County, Echo Park in Burlington, West Park in North Beach Park in Racine. And then two of our community schools also have Born Learning Trails, Knapp and Julian Thomas. The Julian Thomas Trail was just installed this year.
Right. Have you, Leanne, those are two of your schools. Have you seen families using the Born Learning Trails, and what is it like for them?
Not only have we seen families using it, but we've also seen staff members, both teachers, as well as the social workers and the mental health therapists using that. And they oftentimes will use it no matter the weather to go outside and just give the student a bit of a break. If it's just like one-on-one with a student, or they'll have a classroom go out and use the Born Learning Trail stations one at a time. And the great thing about it is that because it is in both English and Spanish, and the corresponding artwork at Julian Thomas, for example, is also in English and Spanish, any student can go out and use it, which has been really, really great. So to see the kids out there, you know, reading, there's one part where they can hop like a bunny or jump like a frog, that is just adorable. You see, especially the really littles thing on that.
Right. And then Imagination Library, I think this is a familiar program to, it's not just limited to Racine, but maybe you can tell us a little more about that.
So Imagination Library is also a nationwide program, and it is available throughout the country, in any community that has an organization serving as a local affiliate. So United Way serves in that capacity in Racine County. The program provides a free book through the mail for children from the time that they are enrolled, which can be as early as when they are born, until they turn five. The first book that they get is The Little Engine That Could. The last book that they get is Look Out Kindergarten, Here I Come. And the books that come in between are age appropriate. So if you enroll a child when they are an infant, they're going to get board books, because at that age, kids explore everything with their hands and their mouths. So they are chewable. And then as the kids get older, the books turn into paperback books that are soft cover books that have, rhyming, there's world literature, there's classics, there's bilingual books, just a really wide range of titles and topics. The books come every single month in the mail until the child turns five.
And I think, Jessica, your kids were enrolled in this?
They were. We were lucky enough that the program expanded countywide right after my daughter was born, and my son was two. So they both had a good amount of time in the program, and they would be so excited when it was new book in the mail day. And we still read those books. And actually, my daughter is six now, and she recently had a bit of a meltdown because her toothpaste didn't taste right to her. And I said, "Do you know what you sound like?" And she said, "Yes." And she went and found a book called My No, No, No Day, where the little girl in the book gets angry because her toothpaste is too minty. And she just cracked up when she realized that she was acting just like that little girl in the book. And so I'm like, yep, those books are still coming in handy.
So is Imagination Library, is that the one that's affiliated with Dolly Parton?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And I just heard that she just got a huge gift for that program, or maybe it's just for her, I don't know, but I imagine she would probably apply it to something like this. There are, what do you know the stats on this program nationwide?
There's quite literally millions of children and books, books going out every single month. In Racine County, we have about 5,600 kids enrolled at any given point right now. And we're mailing somewhere around 70 to 80,000 books every single year, which is pretty amazing.
And so if someone is listening and their own child or their grandchildren or their neighbor children are not enrolled, how would they go about doing that?
This is going to be a shock, but you can go to our website. UnitedWayRacine.org and go to the Imagination Library page. The only requirements are that the child live in Racine County and be under the age of 5. Specifically, the child needs to be at least 4 months or more away from turning 5. We don't have the books locally. They are all processed through a national process. And so the books are printed specifically based on the thousands of children that are enrolled in the program. And then they are distributed all out of a single warehouse into a mailing system. And so it takes a couple of months for that child to be entered into that process. So if you are too close to turning 5, you likely won't get a book because of the way the process works.
Okay. So that's a whole lot of stuff that you can get involved with in some way, but I'm sure there are some people who really are not able to lend their time, but maybe are interested in making a donation at this time of year. And I know there are many employers who do matching donations, and that's always worth looking into. So besides all of the great projects you described, is there any other reason why this is a good time to make a donation to the United Way of Racine County?
Jessica, would you like to talk about that, or I can go a little bit into our centennial sweepstakes? I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about that. So we are celebrating our 100 years as an organization here in Racine County. It's very, very exciting. And coincidentally, Andis is also celebrating their 100-year anniversary. Because that coincidence, they were gracious enough to donate $10,000 so that we are able to hold a sweepstakes for any individual that's donating this year up until December 31st, right before the new year. If they make a donation of $100 as an undesignated gift, then they can be automatically entered for the sweepstakes of $10,000. If you are a past donor, then the donation amount just needs to be 10% more than what you gave last year.
Wow. So you could give, but then you could possibly also win. And then if you want it, you could give that too, if you really wanted to.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, Jessica and I are not eligible to win. Which of course doesn't, we still donate, but we're not eligible to win. So I'm always telling everybody that I know, please donate, because I would love for somebody that I know or hear about to go ahead and win that.
So if they go to the website, could you give us the website again, Leanne, just in case?
Sure. So you can go to www.unitedwayracine.org. And on there, when you hit the donate button is where you'll be eligible to win.
Great. So, well, we're out of time. So I just wanted to thank you again, Jessica Sfransky-Schott, the United Way of Racine County's Chief Operating Officer, and Leanne Martinez, Director of United Way of Racine County's Community Schools Initiative. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this. This discussion is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in the discussion there. I will make sure that the links to all of these different programs are in the comments on our post about this particular show. But I hope in this season of giving that you all find some way to connect to your communities through education or whatever else you can. And we hope that you found something interesting here. Thanks again, Jessica and Leanne.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. Support comes from the Racine Symphony, presenting its annual Holiday Pops Concert Friday evening, December 2nd at Memorial Hall, featuring singer William Tony. Join the symphony for food, drink, and a sing-along. For tickets, call 262-636-9285. I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, you're going to hear the story of Robert J. Young, a retiree and amateur pilot who suffered some painful professional and personal reversals that ultimately forced him to declare bankruptcy. In the wake of that, he decided to fly his very small plane across the country, reconnecting with good friends and with the country that he loves. The result of that trip is a book called Vagabond Pilot, A Journey of Discovery and Renewal. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
All this week on WGTD's Christmas Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of Larry Zarlatti from Kenosha.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through.
At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, now through Christmas Eve, we're featuring a Christmas song by a local artist. So join us for Christmas Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
Merry Christmas, darling.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and